We're actually going to be finishing up this morning our message series entitled God Encounters. And you want to talk about the greatest God encounter ever, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. We're going to be diving into that this morning. Powerful, powerful reality. There is no other God in any world religion of any kind that lowered himself, wrapped himself in flesh, dealt with all the same weaknesses and trials and tribulations that we deal with, dealing with all the same temptations that we deal with, and yet he rose above them all. How great is our God, just to make a way for us to be with him. You know, so far throughout this series, we've talked about some different things. We've been challenged to seek after God encounters in the midst of our everyday lives, in the midst of your everyday routine lives, because we don't want to be like Jacob, who was so busy that he missed it. He said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it. Don't miss out on God in the middle of your hectic, busy life. In the midst of mundane, you know, ordinary routines, don't miss out on Jesus, who's right there with you and for you through it all, and what he's trying to do. We learned also about how God's word, right, is fail-proof. No word from God will ever fail. It may not come when we want it to or how we expect it to. I mean, take a look at Jesus. None of us would have ever imagined. But his word absolutely will always come to pass. We also learned last week about humility, about this key aspect to every part of the Christmas story. From the angels out in the fields to the way that Jesus was born lowly in a manger, I mean, every single aspect of the Christmas story deals with humility. And we learned about how humility, you know, choosing to be considerate of other people, choosing to lower ourselves, which is the true act of worship, is lowering yourself and exalting God, kind of like the seesaw, how that enables us to have these God encounters, these personal, intimate encounters with God in a way that just leaves us in awe of him and just so much more in love with him. This week, just a few days before Christmas, we're going to look at the greatest God encounter of all, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, and speaking of it being just a few days before Christmas, I know I've been talking to some of you all, and even us, we were a little late in Christmas shopping this year. If you guys haven't got anything for your wife yet, I want to give you just a little heads up. There's this really cool gift that she's just going to love, but better than me telling you about it. You can watch the commercial here. But it's a gift that keeps on giving, right? All year long, just like the Jelly of the Month Club, right? All year, it just keeps on giving. You get those cute little charms. But in all seriousness, though, we do come together to celebrate this morning the gift that truly does keep giving all the year long and all throughout all of eternity, the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive, you know, the salvation that was made possible by Jesus Christ. From that very time that Adam and Eve chose their own way over God's and sin entered the picture, God had been planning and revealing and working out his plan of salvation from the very beginning. His own son planned to step down from heaven, wrap himself in flesh, completely humbling himself. This gift was prophesied about long beforehand, as Sharon, you know, shared this morning from the scripture, Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." You see, that gift was for you and I. That gift was given for us. And it says, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. I mean, he could use some good advice. He's the best counselor, Jesus Christ. Mighty God, who will fight your battles on your behalf. You can just watch his salvation. The Everlasting Father. Not like our earthly fathers who, you know, may have some good moments and maybe they weren't even there for you in life. This is a faithful heavenly Father, everlasting, always there for you. The Prince of Peace. In the middle of this chaotic world, it helps to have a little peace. It says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever after. It says the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You see, God is zealous about you. He loves you with an everlasting love, and there is nothing that he would hold back from giving to you. He just loves you that much. He just cares about you that much. He is zealous. And of course, even as we shared, a little bit of a cold thing going around. God's word always is fulfilled. Maybe not when or how we expect it, but it is fulfilled. And in this case, this scripture, this prophetic word was given in Isaiah chapter 9 about 750 years before its fulfillment. But it did come to pass. This prophecy came to pass. And the greatest gift that was ever given was knitted together inside of the womb, the virgin womb of this young teenage girl. The most unexpected way that this salvation would come to pass. Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. And of course, 9 months later, the time finally came to pass for that gift to be unwrapped for us. Now, we could read through the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, and I was going to, but it'd be far more fun. I'm going to actually bring on here via video the Southland Christian Church kids, and they're going to actually tell us the Christmas story from their perspective. And so you got to love a kid's perspective. But yes, Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, Jesus born. In fact, the angel said that it would be good news that would cause great joy for all the people. And here we are, a couple thousand years later, it's still causing great joy in our lives. Jesus, and what he can do in and through our lives if we just give him permission, just let him have control. Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who was found wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. It was the greatest gift ever given. And in our ever-darkening world, we could all use a little good news, right? We can all use it to brighten up our days. Jesus, the light of the world, he's working to guide us home through this rough country of trial and tribulation and difficult times. Home. Jesus, our anchor of hope, who keeps us confidently seated in the heavenly realms while we yet walk through this life. Until, we're home. Until we're home with him once again. Walking through his adventurous life full of unknowns. The birth of Jesus was described in this way. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus has birthed that light into the world. He came in the most unexpected and humble way, and yet he came to prove to us that our thoughts are not necessarily his thoughts and our ways are not necessarily his ways, but his ways are best. His ways are for our good. His ways are for our benefit, laying down himself for us. You know, Mary, this young teenage girl, her life was radically redirected by those simple words when she said, "May God's word to me be fulfilled." You know, that can be a dangerous prayer, you know. Jesus, let your will be done, right? Dangerous words. Her life was about to be flipped, turned upside down. As far as we know, her family didn't believe her that this baby was not Joseph's. Joseph was going to divorce her, you know. He didn't believe it at first either. An angel had to come, and like they said, what she's saying is true. Yeah, it really is. It's of the Holy Spirit. This is the coming Savior. I mean, Herod tried to destroy the child, having every boy 2 years and under killed in the vicinity of Bethlehem. I mean, talk about your life being turned upside down just by saying to God, "May your word be fulfilled in my life." But, you know, I don't think she regretted it for a second. In fact, we read that she treasured all these things up in her heart as she just pondered what was happening. You know, she just trusted God. And it was a life of adventure. I mean, she had to flee to Egypt, and she's here, there, everywhere, coming back and hanging out with Elizabeth and then getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It's crazy times it had to be, but exciting times, right? You know, sometimes we miss out on the adventure of life when things aren't going well. We get frustrated and discouraged and upset in life. But Jesus and his birth and all the controversy that it caused, he proved to us through Mary and Joseph about how we can instead look at those situations as adventures, as we just trust in God. God, I don't know what you're doing or how you're going to work this out, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's an adventure, just knowing that he's going to work things out for good. Mary, she alone, in all of mankind's history and future, she's the only one who will ever, ever have that opportunity to literally carry God in the flesh in her womb. I mean, you want to talk about God encounters. It doesn't get any more serious than that. Carrying this child who would be the Savior of all mankind, a God encounter. But the reality is that Jesus is still radically transforming lives from the inside out today. You know, at our Christmas pageant last week, we had another testimony. There was a man who had stage 4 esophagus cancer. It had already gotten into his lymph nodes. The doctors had literally given him a couple of weeks to live. And when he walked through the doors, you know, last time I seen him, I was in the hospital, and he was, you know, bald, and there was barely anything left of him, you know. I mean, it just wasn't looking good for him. Then he comes walking through those doors and looked perfectly normal and healthy. And he said he just had a PET scan a few days before that. Not a single cancer cell anywhere in his body. I mean, come on, that just happened in our midst. It's a miracle. A miracle took place. Now, the doctors are calling it remission, and he's not sure yet. He's like, you know, God may have healed me, but it might just be remission. He's like, I'm just going to trust God and just take one day at a time, and whatever it is, you know. If it comes back and I die, he's fine with that. But if God decided to heal him, he's rejoicing in that too. I'm believing God healed him. I really am. Sincerely am. It's amazing. God is still at work in our lives today. To those who just say, may your will be done in my life, he is still able to do the miraculous. Jesus is still transforming lives. Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 3. He said, I pray that out of his glorious riches that Jesus may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You see, Mary may have been the only person to ever carry Christ in her womb, but we all have the divine opportunity to have the greatest God encounter than any human can experience, Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. And he went on and he wrote, and he said, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. To know that this love, that it surpasses knowledge. And I pray that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And in verse 20, now to him, Jesus himself, who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus and throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You see, still to this day, according to God's own word, we can be filled to the full measure of Christ, the full measure dwelling within us, a powerful God encounter. We can choose to cast off all cares, all worries, all anxieties, all sickness, all disease, all fears, every single thing that weighs us down and ensnares us and entangles us. We can cast all those things off. Every sin, every worry, every doubt, every fear, it can all be gone. And it can be replaced with the joy of the Lord. It can be overcome by peace, by comfort. Jesus extends that invitation to you and I every day, and he just waits for us to respond to him, to take him up on his offer. Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than anything that we could ask or imagine, he can fill our lives to overflowing through the Holy Spirit, filling us with his very presence. You see, in my opinion, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that's the greatest God encounter that we can ever have. Because it's not just about a one single event that, you know, 5 years ago I had this really powerful encounter with God, you know, that maybe an angel came to visit or whatnot. It's every single day walking in fellowship with God. The Holy Spirit speaking to us, guiding us, directing us, strengthening us, giving us gifts, giving us all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, right? Self-control. We need all these things desperately. The greatest God encounter we could ever have. In fact, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is one of the reasons that Jesus said that he came the way that he did. So that he could, he said it would be better than having him with us in the flesh. Better than Jesus in the flesh was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's the greatest God encounter that we can have. It enables us to walk through life together with God, never alone. Never, ever alone, a second of the day. And it all became possible because Jesus chose to step out of heaven, wrap himself in flesh, and become just like one of us. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, humbling himself to become just like you and I. You see, in a manger, in a stable in Bethlehem, light pierced the darkness in such a powerful way that darkness could never overcome it again. And then he chose to fill us with that light so that we don't have to walk in darkness either, so that we can walk in hope, so that we can walk in joy, so that we can walk in self-control, following him wherever he leads us. Now, not only is this one of the greatest gifts that we could ever receive, his salvation, but it's the gift that keeps on giving. Psalm 103, I love it. It talks about this, these gifts. You know, salvation is not just about getting out of hell. That's just the beginning. The fullness of God's salvation is everything. An abundant life. Psalm 103 reminds us of some of these things. And believe me, David was writing this psalm because he was in a hard place in life. He had to remind himself of this reality. But he said, "Praise the Lord, my soul. In all of my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." He's kind of having this self-pep talk, you know? Praise the Lord, my soul. Everything is inside of me. Because sometimes we feel that way. There's this storm raging inside of us. We are filled and overwhelmed with maybe grief or worries or cares. And so we got to give ourselves this pep talk, you know? Everything inside of me, you need to praise the Lord and forget not his benefits. He forgives all of your sins. Amen? Yeah, he forgives all your sins. Every single time that you've blown it. Every time you've did what you're not supposed to do, or you didn't do what you were supposed to do, it's forgiven. It's forgiven. It's a brand new day, brand new start. Forgives all of your sins, who heals all of your diseases, and I'm still amening that one in faith. He heals every single disease, every single sickness. It's covered by his blood. Who redeems your life from the pit. I love that God can redeem any situation. Anything that we could ever, any place we could ever find ourselves in life is never too far God. Never too far gone, because God can redeem things. There is never lost time in the kingdom of God. I mean, hello, he exists in eternity. It's never too, you've never been too far separated from your loved ones for too long that God can't redeem that time. He can't redeem that situation. He's able to redeem anything. It's just who he is. It says that he crowns you with love and compassion. You see, it's not just that you're a pity party. It's not just that he has compassion and mercy on you, that you're some sorry case, and so he feels bad for you, and so he helps you out. He crowns you. Hallelujah. You are a prince and princess in the kingdom of God. You are a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, you're royalty. Right? It says that he satisfies your desires with good things. You see, sometimes we believe this in life. Your desires aren't bad. They're not evil. Stop letting the enemy lie to you. Those desires that keep leading you into temptation, they're not bad. The thing that you're filling that desire with may not be good. That may be where you're missing it. But the desire itself, in verse 5, it says to forget not the Lord and all of his benefits, that he wants to satisfy your desires, but with good things that bring life, that bring blessing, that don't cause division, that don't steal away from you. He wants to meet that desire with something good that's going to bring an abundant life. And it finishes here, and it says this, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So today, don't miss out on this opportunity, this invitation that Jesus is extending to you and I. He came on Christmas morning, not for his own good and benefit, but for ours. That if we just chose to give our lives to him, to surrender what we think is right and the way we think things ought to be going. If we just choose to surrender our lives to him and let him be Lord of our lives, that he could lead us into something that is greater than we could think or imagine, better than we could ever ask, that Jesus would save us. And that means not just any, you know, giving us second birth and eternal life, but giving us a life of abundance, forgetting not any of his benefits. Because Jesus is ready and willing to take us just as we are and to do an incredible work in and through our lives. To transform us into somebody that we never dreamed we could be. And to do things that we never dreamed that he could do. To do the miraculous every day. He wants to transform us from the inside out. From the inside out. Not so that you look like something and you act like something, but he wants to change who you actually are. Transforming and renewing our minds. Giving us a softened heart. He is able to heal us completely. To forgive us totally. To redeem us fully. To strengthen us immeasurably. And to satisfy generously all of our desires with good things. He promises this. He came a few thousand years ago as a helpless babe, completely dependent on his own creation. But he's coming again. And I love this reality that we live in this time of history, that we can look back and we can rejoice and celebrate in the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can look back and we can celebrate those things. But we can also look forward to a second coming. He's coming to the earth again. Only that time, he's not coming in humility. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming. And I love it. He is coming to put an end to the current order of things. For those who choose him now, he is coming to create a new order of things where there is no more sickness, no more disease, no more death, no more mourning, no more tears, no more pain. A new order of things. Jesus is coming again to make the declaration, behold, I make all things new. Christ our Savior is born. Christ our Savior. And he's alive. Alive and active. Yeah. And he wants, even here and now, to make your life something new. Something that no one's ever seen before. Something incredible. He wants to do that work in and through your life. He paid the price for our sins so that he could give us life abundant. And so this morning, let's just pray together, taking full advantage of this gift that he freely offers us this Christmas morning, right? Because every day is a Christmas morning for those who believe in him, right? Every day is a day of hope, of joy overwhelming. That thrill of hope. We need that thrill of hope. That joy that never ends. Jesus, We thank you so much that you can relate to us, that you were born like one of us, that you know the temptations we deal with, you know the weaknesses that we struggle with, you know the limited understanding that we have, that you live just like we do, but you overcame it. So Jesus, we pray that you would just take our lives. Lord, we surrender to you. Jesus, we want to be filled, overflowing with your fullness. We want to give up and surrender our lives to you. Take us as we are, Jesus. Take our brokenness. Take our sinfulness. Jesus, you know all those things that we are ashamed of. Take us as we are and do something good in and through our lives. We need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. Come and make us new. We want this day to be the day where we receive the fullness of your salvation, where we are delivered from the things that tempt us, where our hardened hearts are softened, when you do a miracle in and through our lives. Jesus, we are yours from this day forward. We just give it all to you in your name. Amen.